Bob Inglis represented South Carolina's 4th District for 6 terms as a conservative Republican who believes in limited government, market solutions to problems, and action on climate change. And that latter belief, the one about climate change, is in part why he lost his seat in a primary election in 2010. But now that stand has won Bob Inglis a Profile in Courage Award from the John F. Kennedy Library Foundation, though he's modest about the idea that he's any kind of hero.
I think mostly the courage is just to try to lead to the future. And that comes really from having 5 kids and wanting to be able to face them and their children. Really, it's about love for them and love for those that will come after us. And that's more powerful, I guess, in trying to hold on to a voting card in Congress.
In announcing this award to you, the JFK Library Foundation quoted President Kennedy's words, "No problem of human destiny is beyond human beings," and noted that you have displayed the courage to keep an open mind and uphold your responsibility as a leader and citizen at the expense of your own political career. How ironic is it for you to get an award from one of America's most visible liberal families?
Well, you know, I tweeted shortly after the award, you know, that President Kennedy was a tax-cutting, communist-fighting, ask-not kind of guy. I think he's a particularly good Republican, actually. I'm thinking that if you go back to what he had to say about his view of America and the role that America could play in the world, he would fit right in a Republican primary in 2016.
Maybe you could say he was a bipartisan at a time when, in fact, people did talk across the aisle.
Well, I think that what's so important about the award, it sets up another look at climate and ask the question, you know, really, can we accomplish really great things like we did with the moonshot, with a president who was optimistic enough to believe in the people that he represented? I hope that that's the message that goes out from the award, is it, let's do it again, just like we did the moonshot. Let's do it with energy. Let's reinvent energy. And we've got to have leaders who believe in America's ability to innovate and are ready to venture on that. Unlike the moonshot, which involved a huge amount of government expenditures, the solution to climate change can actually be a smaller government, one that just forces accountability on all the fuels and set all cost in on all the fuels. And then the free enterprise system can sort out who the winners and losers will be.
Still, Congressman, you've been out of step with many, I'd say perhaps most in your party on this issue of climate. What's that been like for you?
Well, it's lonely at times, of course, when you look around and, after saying something, you realize there are not many people saying amen. You know, you sort of hear crickets after you've said something. But, you know, the future has a few leaders and a whole lot of followers. And the question is, what's the good of leading after it's become obvious? The only way to show courage in leading is when it's not yet obvious. This is a time to go from point A to point B. That's what leadership's about. Once you get to B and it becomes obvious that that's where you should have gone, well, there's not much courage there. So I think it's, while it can be lonely, it's also very exciting. And I'm certain that this is the future and that we're about to win the future in solving for climate change by using the strength of the free enterprise system.
Congressman, what was the moment that you realized that you needed to take the climate on as an issue, come hell or high water, in terms of your career and electability?
3 steps, really, with a third probably being the most conclusive. But first step was my son saying to me when he was voting for the first time in 04, and I was running again for Congress, he said, "Dad, I'll vote for you, but you're going to clean up your act on the environment." His 4 sisters agreed, his mother all agreed, so I had a new constituency that was important to respond to. Second step was seeing the evidence in the ice core drillings in Antarctica and a science committee trip there. And the third step, the one that caused me finally to act, was checking out coral bleaching at the Great Barrier Reef, snorkeling with an Aussie climate scientist, and being able to tell that we shared a worldview in the way that he was interacting with nature before we had words about what that worldview was. I could tell that he was worshiping God in the creation. He was not worshiping the creation. And so afterwards, having plenty of time to talk, he told me about conservation changes he's making in his life in order to love God and love people. And I found that real inspiring. I wanted to be like Scott, loving God and loving people. So I came home and introduced the Raise Wages, Cut Carbon Act of 2009, which economists would call a revenue neutral, border adjustable carbon tax, but what's better marketed as a 100% returnable emissions tax, I suppose. Neither description would have helped me in the darkest days of the Great Recession. So I lost my re-election in 2010.
Speaking of God, the Pope is making an impassioned call for climate action. And there are a lot of conservative and Catholic right-to-life voters who pay attention to the tenets of the church. How might that affect how those conservatives consider climate change now, do you think?
No, I think it's a very important development that the Pope is going to issue this encyclical. In many ways, the Catholic Church led evangelicals into the pro-life movement. And I think it may be the case that this encyclical and the Pope's example may lead other believers into action on climate. So I'm very encouraged by it and think if it's anything like the statement by the Pontifical Science Authority, it'll be beautiful. It'll be really poetic. It'll be very inspiring, and it'll be quite a call to action. So I think it's a big development that the Pope is going to issue that encyclical. And I think also the speech to the joint session of Congress in September will be a very important moment. Because, you know, there are many devout members of Congress who have for a long time derided cafeteria Catholics, those that aren't willing to accept the church's teaching on abortion. So now, do they become cafeteria Catholics if they refuse to accept the church's teaching on climate change?
Very interesting question, huh? What's next for you?
The next thing is to build this group of conservatives who believe in the power of free enterprise, and that we're doing at an outfit called republicen.org. And so it's basically trying to give a tribal identity to conservatives who believe in the power of free enterprise to solve really big challenges like climate change. And so we're gathering people to that identity, creating a community, because the most powerful thing is just showing that we're not alone. We as humans need to have connections with other people. And so we're going to show that there are conservatives out here ready to act on climate change.
Former South Carolina Congressman Bob Inglis is the recipient of this year's JFK Library Foundation's Profiles and Courage Award. Thank you so much, Congressman, for taking the time.
Great to be with you, Steve. Thank you.